is the impact of the touch of Jesus in your life? What mark has he left on your family, your profession, your relationships, your goals? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim delivers a strong conclusion to his message about Jesus' healing of a leper. It's a message of hope and compassion, one that will be sure to lift your heart. Now here is Pastor Jim.
You can make me clean. Notice this is such a humble, he isn't demanding anything of Christ. You know, there are places in third world countries where we still have a large number of lepers who have no access to the kinds of medicine we have in America that to cure that. If you were to go to one of these countries that has that, and you were on a tour, and your tour guide would take you to a marketplace or a square where the lepers were begging, chances are these lepers will come up and begin to touch you, asking for money. And the only way you can stop them is to give them money to go away. But the tour guide would tell you that the true fact of the matter of leprosy is not only in most of the world it's curable, but also 95% of the world, or the world's population, is immune to it, cannot get it. So they would try to calm those tourists who were being mauled by the lepers for a donation. That's how fearful it was. I kind of get this picture in my mind of Jesus. Now, remember, we just finished him calling Peter and Andrew and James and John. They're in tow. They're following him. They're listening. He's teaching. I can just picture these four men and whoever else might have been with them filled with fear to be that close to a leper. The rabbis taught that if you were upwind from a leper, you'd never want to get closer than 6 feet. That sound familiar? If you were downwind, you would want to be at least 150 feet away from a leper. So imagine these four fishermen with Jesus and this leper quickly. I picture him quickly coming up. I don't think he was going slowly. I think he went as fast as his leprous body would allow him to go, right in front of Jesus and falls down. Imagine the fear in those four men. How close was he? He was close enough that Jesus could reach out and touch him, because Jesus does here in just a moment. They say on those tours, sometimes the reason that the guides take people to those places where those lepers are is the tour guides get a kick out of the reaction of the tourist to having a leper come up and touch them. That may be true and that may not be. It may be some of them and not others. I don't know. But there is now and was then a great fear. I mean, think of the fear that we have that somebody might get too close to us with coronavirus, right? I think it's let up a little bit, but maybe not a lot. And people would actually have fear in their eyes to see me without a mask. Imagine the fear of this disease that is believed, and at that time was far more contagious. It's our natural herd immunity. We've heard that term over the last couple of years. That has gotten to the point where 95% of the people are immune to it. They had to be fearful. And I can even picture them doubting, why would Jesus not be backing off? Doesn't he know? I mean, come on, as we look through the scriptures, there was more than once, especially Peter, tried to tell Jesus how to do things, right? So I picture the followers backing off, but not Jesus. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I want to stop this for just a second, and I want to look at something that's kind of parallel at this point. When we are in sin, sin affects all of us, doesn't it? All of our body. Sin affects everything about us. It affects our conversations. It affects our desires. It affects our whereabouts even. And it affects who we are around. It affects our want and dislike for the Word of God. In fact, it causes us to not have a desire for God's Word, but to be repelled by God's Word. When we are in sin, especially when we live in sin, we know it. And I'm here to tell you that even the lost know it when they are in sin, don't they? They know something isn't quite right. They know it. I think of a man who keeps telling me, "Pastor Jim, you just don't know what I've done." And I hear that to sound like he's full of leprosy. He's full of sin. And I tell him, with Jesus, first off, he already knows. And with Jesus, it doesn't matter. Repent. Turn away from your sin. I see such a parallel to this leprosy and sin. Because the fact of the matter is, at that point in that disease, there was one hope for that man. And that one hope was Jesus Christ. Today, in our sin, there is one hope. One hope. And that one hope is Jesus Christ. That it be His will, His will. Let me say it again. His will to cleanse us, to save us. He doesn't owe it to us. He owed this leper nothing. In fact, if Jesus would have backed away and said, "You're breaking the law," that story would have never even made the scripture, and nobody would have thought a second thing about it. But as in Mark's story of this, he points out that Jesus had compassion. In Mark 1, Jesus is compassionate. And when Jesus looked at him in his humility, in his disease, Jesus had compassion. As we've gone through these last couple of years and everything with COVID and the lockdowns that we have had, people in nursing homes, many people in nursing homes, would rather have risked catching the virus and had that human touch with somebody than to have been isolated for so long. That human touch is important, isn't it? But it's against the law to touch a leper in the Levitical law. Who's going to touch him? Jesus. Verse 13 says, "And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will be clean.'" I love Luke's commentary right here. "And immediately the leprosy left him." Immediately. Did Jesus have to do it? No. Jesus is a loving and compassionate, kind and graceful, full of grace, person in his humanity and in his deity. Jesus, the Son of God, who is God, said, "I will be clean." And he reached out and touched him. That touch. I wonder, when I'm reading through this, I wonder how long it had been since anyone touched him. How long had he had the leprosy for it to be to this extent that he was full of it? How long had it been since somebody gave him that human touch? We need that. And Jesus gave that. And immediately the leprosy left him. I want to step away from this again for just a second. And when we, in true humility, humble ourselves and come to the Lord knowing that He can save us, that He can cleanse us from our sin, but He has no responsibility to do that. There's no requirement on Him. We have no hold to force Him to do it. You cannot say that you have served in the church for so long that He owes it to you. He owes no man. But when we come to Him in that condition, because He has opened up the eyes so that we see our sin, because the only way we're going to come to Him in that condition with our sin is because He has opened the eyes for us to see our own sin in light of who He is and understand we have no hope apart from Him. And the humility in coming to Him is part of the repenting, because He has opened the eyes means He has regenerated the heart. You've received a new heart, and you come to Him humbly, and you get before Him, and He cleanses you, not because you have earned it or deserve it, but because He is a compassionate and loving God full of grace. This is where my problem with the Baptist prayer of, or sinner's prayer comes in. This is where my problem with that comes in. It's because you're almost demanding that God's going to save you. Because they use it and they say, well, all you got to do is say this and you will be saved. As if it had nothing to do with the will of God. That it was all up to you doing this. Immediately, our sins are washed clean. Immediately, we are a new creation. Immediately, we are heirs with Jesus Christ. Immediately. So Jesus heals him. Imagine, and again, I'm thinking of these followers and the four being afraid of Jesus doing this, but imagine what they are thinking. They've just been called. I mean, that was the 11 verses before their call, right? They've just been called to follow after Jesus, that he's going to make them fishers of men, that they will fish for men. And then this happens, and they see again the power of God in the Son. Now think about what Peter had seen so far. Because Peter was in the synagogue when Jesus cast out the demon. He was in Peter's house when he healed Peter's mother-in-law. It was in Peter's front yard when the people were bringing all these who were sick to him and all those who had demons. Peter's seen all this. And then Peter saw the catch. And now he has seen God, the Son, cleanse the most disgusting, dirtiest person in all of Israel, a leper. And by the way, the parallel to sin goes on. Because in the eyes of Christ, somebody who is in their sin and refuses to come out of their sin is dirtier and nastier to him than this leper ever was. That is what sin is like. We talk about those who couldn't walk that are healed and how they jump up and are filled with joy. Imagine what this now means to this man. He gets to be back with his family again. Whether he had a wife and kids or whether it was his parents or whatever it might have been, he gets to be back with family. And if you think family isn't important, try to live without your family for a little while. You'll find out just how important they are. They aren't perfect, okay? But they're important. He gets to be around people again. He gets to have the touch of man. He gets to go to the barbecue restaurant, whatever. He gets to be in civilization. He no longer has to live out there with those lepers. Because he's no longer one of them. He's no longer an outcast. Though officially, he still is, even though he's cleansed. So this is got to be going through his mind, right? Verse 14 says, and he, Jesus, charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded. For what? For a proof to them. For him to truly be back amongst civilization, there was a ceremony. There was a time frame of watching, of quarantine, of sacrifices, of offerings to God. And once he has gone through that system of sacrifice, then the priest can proclaim that he is now clean and he's welcome back to civilization. So it's clear why Jesus told him to go and to do those things, right? What's not clear to some is why he would charge him to tell no one. Beginning of that 14th verse, tell no one. Just keep it to yourself. Now this is something that Jesus told people fairly often when they were healed or when they were cleansed or when he had cast out demons or whatever it might be. Fairly often he told them to go and to tell nobody. Why? Why would he tell them to tell no one? Doesn't he want everybody to know who he is and what he does? Remember when Jesus told us in the scripture, why he had come? He said that he is here to share the truth of God's word, to spread God's word, to tell the truth that had been distorted by years of man having his own way with the word of God, just as it is today in so many places. You know, on a side note to that, we have all been affected by false doctrine. we have grown up and learned things in our growing up and in our churches that we've been in, through our friends who go to churches, through TV programs, through all these different things, all these different mediums, we've learned things that were wrong but sounded right. These days we have a show on TV called The Chosen. Has anyone heard of this? I rebuke it myself. Put aside the fact that it is produced mostly by Mormons, who a true Christian would not believe to be a Christian. Okay? Put that side of fact, or that fact aside, there are places in that show that they twist God's word ever so slightly. And people say, well, it's just entertainment. You know what? It's indoctrination. Example. You want an example? On one of the episodes, Jesus comes to Matthew and asks for Matthew's advice. Now, how many times in the scripture have you read about Jesus asking for anybody's advice? It's subtle, isn't it? I mean, that's not a big deal, and it fits the storyline, and it's in the humility of Jesus and all of that. But yet, that takes away from the full sufficiency of who Jesus Christ is. All of us have been affected. All of us. Starting with myself, I'm pointing the finger at, and all of you and anyone else who's watching, have been infected with the lies. And each of us has different ones that we believe. Some of the things that people tell me that they believe are shocking to me, though they shouldn't be. Because just as shocking to me is when I'm studying God's Word and I come across something I believe and I believe wrong. You know, I grew up in the Catholic Church. And to this day, the Monsignor I grew up under, I love him dearly. But he was wrong on many of the things that he taught me. But we get those things and they become a part of who we are. Jesus was showing his apostles, this is who I am. Jesus was showing the world who he is. But he wasn't here for the healing. The healing, the casting out demons, the healing a leper, whatever it might be. That was all because of the compassion of Jesus, and it was used to authenticate his power. But it was never his mission. If all Jesus wanted and came for was the healing of man, he could have done that from the throne, couldn't he? He came to teach and preach. Remember in the last chapter, he said, I need to do it throughout the land. But when people hear about what Jesus is doing, they come with their sick, with those who need healed. And it wasn't that Jesus didn't want them to come, but he needed and wanted to share the truth. And when the crowds for healing became so large, the people would act as if they're there for listening to him, but they were there for the healing. What happened when they heard powerful, strong truth? And Jesus said to the followers, he said, if you are to be my follower, and I'm paraphrasing, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. They said, okay, give it to us, right? No, they said, this is too hard. We can't take this teaching. We can't do this. And as the King James Version says, and they followed him no more because of the truth. And as his fame was going out, more and more people were coming. He couldn't do like today's politicians and preachers. He could not rent a stadium with a sound system that everybody could hear him. Trust me, if he wanted everybody to hear him in that size of a gathering, he could have. But he needed and wanted the crowds to stay smaller, that intimate teaching. You know, one of the issues I have with mega churches is they become so impersonal. Big mega churches become impersonal, and there's not that one-on-one. I remember when our son-in-law Sean was dying, and he was in the hospital, and the church sent out a man to visit and to see Ronnie. Ronnie had never met before. She didn't know this man. There wasn't comfort that comes from the pastor coming. So Jesus told him to go and not to tell anyone. Remember the blind man in John chapter 9? When he's healed and people see him seeing, what was the question everybody asked? How'd you get your sight? Everybody was asking this. Now, somebody who was full of leprosy and no longer is, what do you suppose people are going to say to him when they see him? What happened? How'd you get to this condition? What happened? Even if it wasn't him going out and spreading it, people are going to ask, right? And it's going to go out that way. However, Mark does tell us that he went out and spread it. He went out and told people all about it. If I'm not mistaken, I don't have it in front of me, but I think that's Mark 1:45. It's somewhere in there. The fact is whether the man wanted to hold it quiet or not, he couldn't. But the crowds became all the more in need of healing. Verse 15 says, "But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds," some versions of your Bible say great multitudes, "gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities." And this is what I've been talking about. Fact is most of them were there to be healed of their infirmities. Jesus turned and told some that they were only following because the miracles that they had seen, because of the bread that they had eaten. But Jesus is a compassionate God. And I want to keep saying that throughout this message. He was then and is now very compassionate. And he has compassion on you for your sin, if you will only, by his leading, turn it over. Verse 16, "But he would withdraw to desolate," and when I read this through the first time, I said place, but it's places, "and pray." That was his habit, wasn't it? We need to be alone with God. We need to be alone with God sometimes. And it was something that Jesus did often. We learn of two primary habits that Jesus had, and maybe we could call it three, but it was his habit to be in the synagogue, and it was his habit, it was the way he did things, to get alone and pray. Remember when the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee and the storm has come and that Jesus is walking on the water to them? Where had Jesus been? Why wasn't he in the boat with them? He'd gone up to the mountain to pray. As we've been studying prayer on Wednesday nights, we see that prayer in private is different than prayer in public, isn't it? In private, we have a longer prayer. In private, we have prayers of confession and all these things that in our private prayer, you know, that private communing with God. But in public prayer, the example of the scriptures is prayer is short, it is to the point, and it always makes much of God. Always makes much of him. Jesus spent a lot of time in private prayer. In Mark 1:35, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed." We saw that same verse practically in Luke chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 14, "And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone." Jesus, in his humanity, needed that communion with God. He did. It replenished him. It restored him in his humanity. Because he faced in his humanity all the same things you and I face, right? All the same strengths and weaknesses of the body. And he would have to get away in a quiet place and get with God. I think we miss that today. I don't know that I hear very many people talk about having time away with God by themselves. I do hear it from some people. People say things like, "This morning when I was alone with God, last night when I was alone with God." I've even heard people say, when I can't sleep, I get up and spend time with God. But I think it's missing too often in our daily lives. We are so busy, we feel like we have to multitask. So we crunch our public prayer and our private prayer into a prayer together. Lord, thank you for this food. And that's it. I mean, that's the most common prayer in the lives of most people. Let me rephrase that, in the lives of most church-going people. Because outside of the church-going people, it gets even less. We need that time. If we are going to serve Him, we need that time in His Word. You see, Jesus had the ability that we do not. He knew the Word perfectly because He's the author of the Word, and He is the Word, right? So He knew it perfectly. So His time was in the triune communion of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, we get into prayer with all, and all's involved in our prayer. But we need the Word, too, because we're not going to get it by osmosis. We get it by being in it, studying it, and learning it. And so I call you today, like this leper, to see the condition that you're in because of sin. And there's two different conditions. One condition is you're lost, and sin has you on a collision course with hell. The other condition of sin is you are saved and in sin, and so your fellowship with the Father is broken. And because of that broken fellowship with the Father, your prayers, your study, and even maybe your heart feels empty because you are not walking with Him. I'm calling, no matter what condition you are in sin, humble yourselves before God. Repent of your sin. Beg God, just as this leper begged Him, beg Him to grant you repentance. Repent, turn away from your sin, and turn to God and serve Him. And serve Him with all that you are, all that you have, and all that you will be. Please stand with me as we pray. Father, as we close in prayer, I lift up to you the scripture here today. And I pray, Lord, that you have used me to be faithful to the scripture, but also to reveal the spiritual side of those things and how it mimics our sin. Lord, I pray that you would and have spoken to the hearts of these who hear and move them away from their sin and move them to your glory. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. What a challenging truth. How desperately we need time with the Father, and how pathetically do we run to every other thing. Entertainments, vapid pursuits, and even a whole host of good things. Even our church work and families can separate us from communion with God if they replace our time with Him. Jesus never allowed anything that He did to keep Him from the Father, withdrawing and finding time to be alone with God. Let us all learn from His most perfect example. Because, beloved, if Jesus, of all people, needed time with God, how much more do you? We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church, and we want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. May God bless you, and bless the hearing of His Word.